Welcome to a truly revealing deep dive today. We're plunging into some pretty raw, fragmented, and honestly often chaotic corners of the internet.
Yeah, online forum threads.
Exactly. Our source material is this collection of excerpts, and at first glance, they might seem just
Well,
nonsensical.
frankly, quite offenses in places.
Right. But our mission here for this deep dive is to sort of navigate through this dense, sometimes abrasive
And
stuff.
pull out the insights, yeah.
Exactly, those surprising nuggets. Think of it like a shortcut, maybe, to understanding how these very specific niche online subcultures actually work.
How they communicate, define themselves.
Yeah, even when the material looks like it's, intentionally designed to be confusing or just wild.
And what's really striking, I think, is that even under what looks like pure digital anarchy,
There's something else.
yeah, there's actually this kind of intricate unspoken rule book going on. We're going to try and uncover these patterns.
Patterns in communication, shared interests.
Even quite complex social dynamics. So this deep dive should help you, our listener, understand the currents flowing beneath the surface in these sort of Wild West digital spaces.
It reminds you that even in chaos, humans will kind of always forge their own communities, their own order.
Always happens.
So, okay, having seen the sheer volume and chaos of these forums, the first thing that genuinely jumps out is their language.
Oh, definitely.
It's really unique. It's not just casual chat, is it? It feels very deliberate.
Very distinctive linguistic choices, yeah.
Like, for instance, we see what the sources actually call faux apathetic lower caps.
Right, all lowercase typing.
Yeah, and it's not just someone being lazy with the shift key.
No, it's presented as a conscious choice. Almost like it takes more effort sometimes to, avoid standard grammar.
To project this sort of aura of apathy, maybe emotional invulnerability.
But the source suggests this style often masks people who are actually extremely emotional and unstable.
Prone to tantrum blowups, it says. So you read, I don't care, but the effort screams the opposite.
Kind of, yeah. It's a performance of not caring.
Then you've got the custom word filters
Yeah.
and the slang.
Oh, yeah. The specific terms.
Words like fuggy McWuggy, glub, smurf. They're just scattered all through the threads.
And they're not random, are they? They become part of the community's identity. One source calls it Mijito speak.
Like their own dialect, it instantly signals who's an insider.
Exactly. And who isn't?
And we can't forget the intentional repetition, sometimes extreme repetition.
Like chanting almost.
Yeah, Trickster repeated what, like 100 times? Or just, whee!
As a form of expression, yeah, it's very emphatic.
It's just fascinating how these, well, seemingly small linguistic things act as these instant filters.
Like a really fast shibboleth, a test.
If you don't get the faux apathy or the weird slang.
You're out. Or at least you're marked as an outsider straight away. It reinforces how insular the community is.
More than any official rules, maybe.
Probably, yeah. It's how insiders spot each other and how outsiders, well, they struggle. They get, as one user puts it quite crudely, "prowned."
Right, basically defeated or humiliated online.
Now, we do need to touch on the content itself here. It's important.
The language can get pretty rough.
Yeah, the sources we're looking at contain some deeply offensive and derogatory language, slurs related to identity, sexuality, ethnicity. They're present.
And just to be absolutely clear for you listening, our purpose in bringing this up is purely to report that it exists in these communities.
Exactly. We are not endorsing or repeating any hateful expressions. It's presented in the source material as part of the communication style.
Even when it's used in, aggressive personal attacks or to label whole groups.
It's a stark, often really troubling element of how these spaces function.
And this unique communication style, it even extends to their humor.
Right. The sources mention things like awkward humor.
All the way to a painful joke. It showcases a comedic landscape that's definitely not mainstream.
Sometimes uncomfortable, yeah, but it's part of their shared experience.
So what does this all mean for you, our listener, trying to make sense of these often challenging digital spaces?
Well, I think it really highlights how these specific language choices, from the affected apathy, the slang, right through to the use of, frankly, awful slurs, they're all essential.
Essential to understanding the internal dynamics.
Yeah, and the perceived barriers to entry. It kind of creates a space that's deliberately difficult for newcomers.
Filtering for people who are really dedicated to understanding its unique and often, challenging norms.
Precisely.
But okay, moving beyond just the language itself, What really seems to bind these communities, maybe even define their whole culture, is this intense focus on one specific thing.
A central piece of media, right?
Exactly. And in the forums we looked at, it's almost omnipresent. It's the webcomic Homestuck.
Homestuck, yes.
The source material paints it as having this really profound impact, sometimes negative, actually.
Users claiming it ruined an entire generation of webcomics.
Yeah, and even ruined an entire generation, full stop. The intensity of that perceived impact is just, it's palpable. It's like folklore within these groups.
And the character discussion.
Oh, constant and really passionate. Characters like Rose LaLonde, Vriska, Nepeta, Dirk, John Egbert.
They're debated endlessly.
Users dissect their portrayals, their relationships, fan interpretations, down to the tiniest detail.
It's not just casual fandom chat, is it? It feels almost academic sometimes.
Totally. And they get into some pretty controversial stuff too, like discussions around Futa Nepeta or Homestuck porn.
Which shows a really deep, maybe sometimes unbridled, level of engagement with it all.
The community also has really strong opinions, critiques about the sequel, Homestuck 2.
They're not happy with it, generally.
Seems not. And they're not just complaining. There are actual proposals, like getting a famous mangaka, Araki, to lead the plot to fix it.
Wow. Okay. That shows a real investment in where the story goes.
And the engagement can get seriously metatextual, which sounds kind of wild.
About so.
Well, there are proposals like the Homestuck Slur Enhancement Project.
Yeah. What's that?
The idea is suggesting inserting specific slurs into every pester log. Those are the comic's chat logs to reflect its, quote, cynical piece of shit nature.
Wow. That's an extreme level of meta engagement. What does that really tell us about the relationship with the comic?
Well, it really raises that question, doesn't it? Why does one specific piece of media become so central?
Almost like a foundational text for a whole online community.
Yeah.
Shaping so much of their conversation, even to that extreme degree.
Yeah.
It really speaks to the power of having a shared cultural touchstone, I think. Something everyone can rally around.
Whether they love it or hate it.
Exactly. Whether it's praise or critique, it's a common ground.
And the discussions, they often circle back to critiques of the original creator, Andrew Hussey.
Right. Users seeing him as borderline creatively bankrupt from the offset, needing others to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, and debates about whether he's an egomaniac. There's even this interesting theory mentioned that one character, Caliborn, is actually Huizid.
Suggesting this deep, almost psychological analysis of the creator through his work.
So despite all the criticism, or maybe because of it,
the discussions show this incredibly deep emotional investment in the webcomic. It's a community, as one source puts it, dedicated to dunking on it.
But without it becoming an anti-authenticity circle jerk.
Right, which suggests the flaws themselves are maybe part of what keeps the community hooked, keeps them engaged.
Creating this unique bond forged in, well, shared criticism.
It's really fascinating when you think about how powerful a single piece of media can be, even one that's so widely critiqued.
Shaping an entire online identity, a whole culture, for better or worse.
It becomes their shared language, maybe a common enemy sometimes, definitely a source of endless debate. It just shows the foundational role media can play in these subcultures.
Okay, so let's dive a bit deeper then. Beyond just Homestuck, these forums are really a melting pot of interests.
Yeah, it's not just about the comic.
No, and these interests often clash in really interesting ways. It's a surprisingly broad landscape, actually.
What kind of things pop up?
Well, lots of talk about gaming and media generally. Users discuss RPGs, you know, Dragon Quest, Final Hope.
Classic and maybe more niche stuff.
Yeah. They get into specific game mechanics too, like Pokemon monotype teams, banned power levels in games.
So quite detailed discussions.
Definitely. And even game development itself, mentioning things like RPG Maker or RPG Developer Bacon.
So creation as well as consumption.
Right. And there's also this specific critique that contrasts, quote, Hollywood slop with serialized shonen.
Ah, okay. Highlighting a preference for certain narrative styles.
Yeah, drawing a clear line against what they see as, well, lower quality mainstream stuff.
And what about other arts? Music, visuals.
Music gets discussed heavily. Detailed critiques of various metal subgenres, gothic metal, black thrash, speedcore, grindcore.
Wow, that's specific. A really global and niche musical landscape then.
Totally. And sometimes pretty harsh judgments on art styles too, including AI-generated art, which comes up.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
How do they view AI art?
Mixed, it seems. Some are critical, others maybe see potential. The discussions definitely show they're aware of current tech, like AI.
Some users even asking if AI can make these shitpost games real, apparently.
Yeah, while others are quick to critique the AI art itself, so there's this keen, sometimes sort of hostile interest in emerging tech.
It's clear they're plugged into current digital trends, yeah.
And what's fascinating here, I think, is how these discussions, even when they seem super niche,
they often reflect broader societal things, right? Anxieties, trends.
Exactly. They provide this kind of unique, unfiltered lens.
Like what, for example?
Well, there are observations about Zoomers versus Millennials.
Ah, the generational comparison.
Yeah, particularly about how younger generations consume content and engage with fandoms. One user suggests younger people might be less invested in fandoms or actual things and just like the cult of personalities.
That's a pretty interesting, if maybe cynical, commentary on modern media consumption that probably resonates beyond just these forums.
Definitely. Now, it's also important we acknowledge, again, that the sources contain some very politically charged content.
Right. We need to be clear about this.
You find intense debates, often using derogatory terms, around topics like gender identity.
The source material includes users taking really inflammatory positions, using offensive language, and framing these talks as conflicts.
Yeah, there's one post that says one side is just playful about gender identity and the other side is genocidal.
And again, just to reiterate for everyone listening, while we're sharing that these extreme viewpoints are in the sources.
We are absolutely not endorsing them. Our aim is just to reflect the full spectrum of what's being discussed in these forums.
Precisely. And furthermore, there's explicitly anti-Semitic and nationalistic content that appears.
Right, including one quite lengthy post that attributes historical events, figures like Karl Marx and Lenin, to Jewish individuals and groups.
Even claiming communism was Jewish and linking it to a massive death toll.
And again, we're simply conveying the ideas that are contained in the original source material. It's about understanding the forum's dynamics, not validating the viewpoints.
Exactly. And speaking of those raw, unfiltered perspectives, these forums don't shy away from discussing real-world horrors either.
No, there was one stark example, wasn't there?
Yeah. Detailed discussions, even calls for investigation and remembrance around a really disturbing event, the Olenivka mass murder in July 2022.
Described in the source as a blatant war crime against prisoners of war.
It shows the breadth of topics, even incredibly serious and dark ones.
And finally, these discussions also touch on this idea of online personas.
How people present themselves versus maybe who they really are.
Yeah. One user reflects on being, quote, pigeonholed into defending myself with this petulant snark lord character and then says, this isn't how I actually am.
Which offers a little glimpse into the performative nature of online identity, especially in these kinds of intense spaces.
So what this all really shows, I think, is that these forums, despite that sometimes harsh, often offensive surface,
they offer this raw, unfiltered window.
Yeah, into an incredibly diverse range of interests and some deeply held and often really polarizing beliefs.
It's a complex ecosystem of human interaction, just kind of laid bare.
So as we start to wrap up this deep dive, it feels clear that, yeah, it was challenging. The material is raw, often offensive.
Distilling out an easy browse.
No. But it has revealed these complex, multi-layered dynamics of niche online communities.
From their peculiar language.
To the intense cultural debates, the personal expressions. These forums are way more than just random noise.
They're intricate spaces where identity, passion, conflict, it all converges in really unexpected ways.
And this brings up a pretty important question, doesn't it?
Which is?
Well, if even the most seemingly chaotic corners of the internet have these intricate social structures, these communication norms.
What does that tell us about us? About the fundamental human drive to create communities?
Yeah, no matter how niche or abrasive they might seem to outsiders.
It really speaks to a deep need for belonging, doesn't it? For shared experience. Even if that experience is built on shared criticism or a very, very particular sense of humor.
We've certainly seen a side of the internet today that is, well, uniquely itself.
That's one way to put it.
So now it's really up to you, listening, to consider how your own interactions online, however small they seem,
how they contribute to these constantly evolving digital cultures.
What will you take away from this deep dive? Something to think about.